Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, November 29th, 2021, and we are reading in the Big Book on page 101, the fourth paragraph down on the page. Today's readers are Lorraine N. reading the 12 Steps, Lois P. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the texts are Karen W. and Eileen M. The reference numbers for yesterday's Sunday special edition on November 28th is 18,151 or 18151. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Vision for You meeting, the reference number is 18,154 or 18154. Our newcomer greeter today is Leah S. And making announcements today is Leslie M. Thank you very much. Overeaters Anonymous Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 steps. Thank you, Lorraine.
Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. The 12 steps of overeaters. Oh, Lorraine N., compulsive eater in the state of Oregon. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service this month. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine. And I'm going to ask Lois P., would you please read the 12 traditions for us?
Morning, Kathy. Thank you. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Oops, sorry, I just dropped my book. Give me 1 second. Okay, I apologize for that. I'm not sure where I left off, so I'm going to jump in. I think tradition 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they suffer. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Lois P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and when you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 101, the 4th paragraph down. And I will now ask Karen W. to get us started. Good morning, Karen.
Hi, good morning, Kathy. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. You will note that we made an important qualification. Therefore, ask yourself on each occasion, have I any good social, business, or personal reason for going to this place? Or am I expecting to steal a little vicarious pleasure from the atmosphere of such places? If you answer these questions satisfactorily, you need have no apprehension. Go or stay away, whichever seems best. But be sure you are on solid spiritual ground before you start, and that your motive in going is thoroughly good. Do not think of what you will get out of the occasion. Think of what you can bring to it. But if you are shaky, you had better work with another alcoholic instead. So when I was thinking about this paragraph, not knowing whether I was going to be asked to comment on it or not, I was thinking, well, you know, I don't really identify with this very much, until I started thinking and started to remembering some things that I did or places that I went to based solely on what was going to be served and what was there. And one of the big things that came to mind is we have a beautiful arboretum around here that has a lovely cafe, and they have something in there that you know, I loved. And so, oh, let's go to the Arboretum. And it was not because I wanted to see the beautiful trees and all of that. It was because I wanted that treat. And vacations and trips that I, various trips that I took, I can't really tell you where, what I saw, you know, the different places that, that we visited and stuff that was being explained to us. I could tell you what I ate and where I ate it and how much of it I ate. And then the last thing I want to say about places that I went for the vicarious pleasures is a family member who always would serve like the best snacks. And one time going there and she didn't have them out on the table and I was not real happy about it. So anyway, a lot of things, a lot of places that I went to, it was the attraction was what was going to be served. And when it talks, and that's no longer the case, thank God. When it talks about being on solid spiritual ground, I would not have known what that meant. And I think what that means to me now is, am I working my steps? Am I making contact with my higher power every day? Am I seeing what I can contribute rather than what I can take away, and be focused more on the activity that's going on there, and not not being, you know, hand to mouth kind of thing. If I'm shaky, I'd better work with another alcoholic instead, and not go. We have some social activities going on this week. And one of the things that I'm doing to self-care and be sure that you know, I'm not going to be at the mercy of what's being served is to bring the appetizers that are healthy for me and appropriate for me, and then not worry about what the other stuff is that's being out there. Okay, I think that's all I really want to share, but I do want to thank you all for letting me be part of a team. That feels really good to be a part of something that's this important. So I'm going to pass. Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks so much, Karen W., for getting us started. Okay, I will now invite people to let me know your name, your first name and your first initial of your last name, if you'd like to share. And please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day on this meeting in order that others might share their experiences too. So, who would like to share today? The floor is wide open.
This is Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Okay, Ronnie B., thank you. And who else?
Tony B.
Rob.
Okay, I'm sorry. There were two names I didn't get either. Can you try again?
Tony B.
Tony B. Thank you, Tony. And who else?
Rob H.
Sivia.
Rob H. And was that Lydia?
Sivia VG.
Sivia EG. Okay.
VG.
Sherry.
VG. Okay.
When Sherry Z.
Say that again. You ask your name, please.
Sherry Z.
Sherry
Donna B.
Sherry D. And Alana B.
Deborah G.
Wait a second. What did I get you right, Alana?
No, it's Donna B.
Oh, okay, Donna B. Thank
Leia
you.
S.
And Leia S. Okay, we will stop there for now. And so I have Ronnie B., Tony B., Rob H., Slivia ZG, Sherry D., Donna B., and Leia S. Thank you all. Ronnie B., please get us started.
Good morning, everyone. Ronnie, compulsive overeater, Missouri. Thank you for your service. It's an interesting paragraph, and I do several big book studies and various programs, and this is what we're focused on right now. So it's really interesting that it keeps coming up in my life. So I guess the first thing I want to say is when I was new in any program, I was absolutely terrified. And you know what? At the time, that was good. It was a healthy fear. I was very new. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't trust myself. So that's historic. But if that should happen today, for any reason, I just won't go to a place. And that's all there is to it. I could pray, I could meditate, and if I still don't feel okay, I don't go. And I don't judge myself. However, for the most part, that's not the case. And I'm stunned, and I continue to be stunned. I keep thinking, I must be lying that I'm still abstinent. I must have had all those foods I said I wouldn't have the last 2 years. I must have, but I haven't. And I'm still shocked about that. So when I think of going to a place and it's solely based on this is a great binge place, well, that's a problem for me, because a problem is a set of circumstances that endangers my well-being. So that also tells me how much spiritual growth was needed for me to not be so selfish as to not care what the party was about or the event or the dinner or who was going to be there or who I could talk with, maybe even who I could help. It was solely on what are you serving? And not in a healthy sense of I better bring my own food, but how much good stuff is going to be there? And good stuff was detrimental to my health. So I continue to think, oh my goodness, what is happening to me that it's 2 years without any of that stuff? And how much longer should I expect this to go on? And the answer is simple. The answer is spiritual. Today. I just have the hope that it goes on again one more day. So anyway, I think that kind of wraps it up. It's not about who I can get something from. It's about what can I contribute to, and that always helps me. Anyway, thank you, everyone, for your readings. That's all I have.
Thank you, Ronnie B. Tony B., please share with us.
My name is Tony Bean. I'm from the Republic of Ireland. Great to be on the meeting. Thanks very much. And I'm not up to step 12 yet, so I'm working with another alcoholic or compulsive overeater. Isn't on. Although I did find a name in my phone list there a few days back, and I asked my sponsor, could I just tell him about vision, you know, and he hasn't got back to me yet. So I feel a bit shaky at the moment, so maybe I should do some other kind of work, you know what I mean? Maybe there's stuff that I can do that, you know, wouldn't be... you know, going against my program or anything like that. But, I went to a birthday dinner there a couple of weeks ago, and it was inside in a bar that served food. And I had my meal before I went. And I went to the dinner, and it was very awkward. And, my sisters gave me a pile of... opposition before I went. The same, one of my sisters said to me, do you know the way that an alcoholic affects other people? I said, yeah. She said, you're doing that with the food, by the weighing and measuring and, you know, stuff like that. So that's all I have to share. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Tony B., and please keep coming back. Rob H., please share with us.
Hi, this is Rob H., upstate New York. What came up for me was two things. One thing was a certain fast food place that I used to go to this particular one that serves a drink that I'm sure everyone can, you know, whatever. And there's a certain drink that everyone drinks in the world, and we all run on it. I used to go there all the time before work, and so that I would have my quote unquote energy so that I could do my job. I don't know if it really helps me at all with that. I think it was just a pleasure, you know. It was just like it says, a little vicarious pleasure. Of course, this is from the food, but I don't frequent that place anymore. I have gone through the drive-thru before a couple times, not for myself, but it seems like it's easier and easier to avoid those foods and that drink. And then the other thing that comes up was I went to a family gathering over the summer, and I did the same thing as the last caller. I ate beforehand, and then I could focus on the people that were there. And so I was able to try to stay in conversations and pay attention to what other people were saying. And, I wouldn't have all that if I was, like in the past, going to one of these gatherings and just sitting around moping, waiting for the food, just getting angry and resentful. How come the food's not out yet? How come the food's not there? Or grazing and, trying to bully my way up to the buffet and take as much as I can without arousing any suspicion of like, oh, is he taking too much or whatever. So anyway, I just want to thank OA. Thanks for this meeting, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rob H. Slivia ZG, please share with us.
Hi, my name is Sivia, SivIAVG, S as in Sam, and Z as in Victory, G as in Georgia. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Sivia, sorry.
No worries, it's hard on the phone to hear S's and V's and all those things. Okay, so, good morning, everybody from Northern California. I'm so grateful to be here. It's been a long time since I've spoken here. And this passage reminds me that my motivation needs to be right. And not only my motivation in terms of being someplace, but also why I do things for other people. Is it purely altruistic to be there? I think somebody had mentioned to help others. Or is it something that I'm going to get out of it? Am I going to do something to make me look good or to help my higher power? So, especially Thanksgiving, I have a friend who's very ill, cooked an abstinent meal and drove 3 hours and had Thanksgiving with them. And, I made a dessert. I don't have to eat that dessert. I do not crave the sweetness. I used to walk into a coffee shop and just vibrate when I would smell all the pastries, or in a bakery. Oh my God, I don't have to be that way anymore because, first of all, my higher power's with me and I know that. Second of all, I haven't touched the stuff, so the allergy of the body has and the compulsion that comes with that is not activated anymore, which is a miracle. It's been 12 years. And for me not to touch a piece of sugar or cake or something, it's just phenomenal. And it's, there are times where I do let up on my spiritual program and other things happen. In terms of now I got to do a 10th step. But typically I've learned to trust God above all else and make God my higher power and make sure that I put that higher power in my pocket, carry that higher power with me wherever I go throughout the day. And yes, I blow it frequently, but it's usually not the food. But it's my motivation has to be right. If I have to bring my food because I've called ahead and this is not a restaurant that serves anything I can eat, I do that. I don't care anymore what other people think. I bring my scale because I have to watch out what I eat and how much I eat. My problem nowadays is volume. So thank you all. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Hanukkah. Happy whatever. Have a happy day. And thank you for listening.
Thank you, Sivia VG. Sherry D, please share with us.
I'm Sherry Z. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Sherry Z. Go ahead.
From Los Angeles, I'm recovering in step, I'm just about to give away step five. It says an important qualification. I looked it up, the quality that makes someone suitable for a particular job or activity. I would go to places because of my job, and the minute other people were eating something and they'd be like, take a bite, it's okay, my defective character of pleasing them and wanting to be like them would just activate. And it didn't matter that it wasn't committed. It didn't matter that it wasn't measured. It's because all I wanted to do was be part of the joy and the fun. And the minute I did that, I was completely taken out, right? Then I was the need for vicarious pleasure would take me completely out, and I couldn't do my job anymore. And by the miracle of this program, I'm learning that I can go somewhere and not eat anything, not drink anything, and the world does not collapse. And it's so hard because that character defect of people pleasing, wanting everyone to like me, wanting to be a part of everything, wanting everyone to be like, oh, she's in it too, and wanting to be like everyone else. But the problem is that it completely took me out of participating, right? And then I was no longer a service. Then I was completely all about what can I get next, because the trigger, the allergy would activate so fast. And then the twist of the mind, I would be completely taken out. And I didn't even consider that some days I could say, I can't go or I can't eat. And for today, the miracle is I just went somewhere and for a breakfast meeting, and I didn't have anything, and the world didn't collapse because I had my breakfast before I went. I weighed and measured it, and it was so fine. So I love this idea. If you are shaky, you need to be of service. And even in the middle of an event, I can step aside, go into the bathroom, and be of service, make a call. So the miracle of this program today is that God has better dreams for me than my defects of character running my show. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathy, we're not hearing you.
This is Donna B. I believe that I'm next.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Okay. Sorry about that. I thought I should thank Sherry Z, and I invited Donna B, but none of that got through. Is that you, Donna?
Yes, it is.
Great. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. This sentence, go or stay away, whichever seems best. This is a sentence that comes up often when I speak with my fellows, not just in regards to the food that may or may not be at an event, but also all of the circumstances associated with that event. The people, the timing, the purpose of the event. Thank God I have been abstinent for a period of time in which that I don't worry about the food when I'm considering whether to attend an event or not. For me personally, my preference is to pack my own meal or my own snack when going other places. So the food is sort of irrelevant. But I still have social anxiety. I still have relationships that are, that I'm still navigating. And sometimes I'm hesitant about going someplace. And it helps me to do a 10th step to dive deeper into why I have that hesitation and whether it is a valid hesitation or one that isn't. And what the motive is, and do I need to be there? Do I not need to be there? And this shows up especially in my gatherings with my family of origin, which are really complicated. And I'm really navigating this, you know, difference between, am I setting healthy boundaries or am I just avoiding my parents? Am I taking care of myself or am I in self-will? So there's so many questions that still plague me, and prayer and connection with my fellows, writing a 10 step, really helped me in determining whether that's a place I should be or not. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Donna B. Leah S., please share with us.
Hello.
Hi, Leah.
Hi. Thank you. So my name is Leah S., and I'm recovered in Brooklyn, New York, and very grateful today. This paragraph is so important, both to newcomers and to people who have been abstinent for a while like me. I remember in the beginning of the program when I had to go to an occasion and I needed to be there for family obligations, and I so was unexperienced and so unsure and petrified that I'll pick up. And I go into the ballroom, and as I go into the ballroom, I get a phone call, and it was a person who wanted to do a 10-step. And I just decided then and there, I'm leaving the ball. I didn't even walk in. I walked right out. And on the street, I was on the phone with this woman for about 10 minutes. And my God, did I reinforce my program. And I was ready to go right back in. And as I was going right back in, I see people wheeling tables and tables, and a woman saying next to me, "Oh, shucks, why are they taking out this smorgasbord? I didn't even have any." And I said to myself, "Oh, there I go, through the grace of God. This is like unbelievable." And today, occasions, I remember when I went to parties on Hanukkah every single night. Sometimes I was selfish. Yes, I didn't want to go because it was just too much. But you know what? Every time that that I was thinking about whether I'm going to do this or that, or if it is necessary and if it is God's will, I never went wrong. I never went wrong. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Yes. Okay, we have time for a few more shares. We are sharing on the fourth paragraph down on page 101 in the big book. Who else would like to share today?
Deborah G.
Deborah
Kevin
G.
R.
Kevin
and
R.
Paul. Paul G.
Paul
Patty
G.
L.
Wait a second. Paul G. Patty L.
Wendy Esther K.
Who was that last initial K?
Esther K.
Esther K. Okay. We'll stop here because I'm not sure we'll have enough time for all of you, but hopefully we will. Deborah G., please share with us. Deborah, press star 1 to unmute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you, Kathy, so much for being of service and all those that have made this meeting possible. It's just a beautiful, beautiful blessing. and thank you for all the shares. Oh, I just love that we can hold hands and do this together. It just feels so good to feel that love and support, and I could relate to so many things because I'm going to be around a lot of food and just being reminded of the spiritual condition. You know, my sponsor reminds me to be alert, awake, and aware, and to watch for the, you know, things that crop up, the emotional disturbances, get that stuff cleaned up. And in practicing and living those beautiful 12 steps, particularly living in 10, 11, and 12, so that when I am around that, you know, I can look at it or even have memories of what I used to do with it, but not want it anymore. You know, it doesn't call to me, or I don't long for it. You know, and another thing is that I love my food. I love my food plan. I love the food that I eat. And I think that makes a lot of difference too. It's not like I'm eating something I don't want to eat. I really don't want to eat that other stuff because I know what happens to me. And I don't want that to happen. Because I love my life today. I love being present. I love that I can eat before I go to something and socialize, be present with people, listen, really listen to what they're saying, being attentive. Where before I was just focused so much on the food, I think about it now and it's like, wow, I missed out on so much. And I'm so grateful to be here, and God bless all of you during this holiday season.
Thank you, Deborah G. Kevin R., please share with us.
Hi, this is Paul G. in California.
Hi, it's...
Wait a second. Kevin and then Paul. Oh, okay?
Thanks.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi, yeah, so it's Evan with an E.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Evan. Yeah?
From Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater. I think it's a great paragraph, very relevant for me in terms of being somewhere that you kind of, quote unquote, have to be, where there's, let's call them drugs around. But I, in reference to the big book, you guys quote me if I'm wrong, but I think he's talking about being in a bar if you're an alcoholic and you have a prompt reason. For me personally, you know, the holidays, there's a lot of what I call food parties. There's a lot of opportunities to eat things that may or may not be good. And I think that the reason for being there, obviously, is the family. But, you know, to share my hope, I realized early on in my program, yeah, it was a lot about the food. Also avoiding the food. There's a lot of strategies that go into place I try to help you with in terms of, like, not being around the food, you know, making about the people, praying. And then as I've grown in my abstinence, and this kind of hope part is, it really becomes a lot easier. It wasn't even a focus. And, you know, this week we did like a family reunion in Las Vegas, which people don't know, that's a very heavy food place. And, you know, I was around a lot of foods that essentially could or could not be bad for me, but I was really just focused on the people a lot more naturally. It wasn't really forced. It doesn't mean it's not without battles. I think for me, it's impossible to believe there'll be a program without triggers, without certain foods that cause, you know, the sensation to want to eat more. But that's okay. I think I used to be so scared of that feeling of, oh my God, I'm triggered. I did something wrong. Let me restrict all my food plan. Let me change everything. To where now I realize, like, yeah, sometimes just random foods will trigger me wanting to eat more. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a quote unquote red light food. And, you know, that's the hope I want to share is, you know, it does get easier. It does get better. You definitely understand your food plan more. But like people have been saying, like, it really just becomes more about people and, like, sharing the experience and less about just, like, food and what I'm eating, which, I mean, if you look at it, is a very selfish act. So if anyone out there is struggling with that, just want to, you know, send them some love and be like, yeah, you keep working, keep doing the steps. I did about, I don't know, 2 or 3, 4 steps in the last 2 years since the last time I was in Vegas, and, like, it changed dramatically. So just keep going. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan R. Paul G., please share with us.
Thank you. This is Paul G. in Southern California also. Sun's coming up over here, and you know, one of my 10-step partners shared this with me, and it really helps when I'm going to things like a social event or something that might be normally challenging, and it's then got in ahead. And I just really love that because it reminds me that I'm not in charge. And, you know, what I look to today, my motivation is to be a service to other people. Some of my motives were before were, you know, to go to a social gathering and pretty much survive. You know, if I was there and there was a lot of food, that was my obsession. That's what I was obsessed by. I would try and find a person, stick close to them. Hopefully it was someone I knew, so I didn't feel uncomfortable. And I would ask them a lot of questions. You know, curiosity is great. But I think my main motivations before were surviving and looking good. And today, I can go and just be present, as, you know, as others have shared. And that's a gift. And I got to do that on Thanksgiving. And, you know, even when people were launching into gossip about someone else, I could just shake my head, you know, nod and say yes. And I didn't have to jump in with my two cents and why they were right or why they were wrong. And, you know, and that all has to do with my motives. My biggest character defect is people pleasing and managing my identity. You know, I'll lie to manage my identity. You know, in a work situation, I'll lie, you know. Thank goodness I'm retired now. It makes for a lot less tense steps. But I still find reasons to be resentful. So thank you. I pass.
Okay. Thank you, Paul G. And Patty L., please share with us.
Oh, hi, good morning. Can you hear me? Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't sure what happened there. Hi, my name is Patty L. I'm a compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And Kathy, I just want to thank you for your service this morning and thank you for everybody that shared on this meeting. I'm 6 days absent today and new in this program. I've only been in this program for a short period of time, but I've been in other food recovery programs, you know, for many years. And, you know, so I've kind of been in this like chronic relapse or never recovered really when I really think about it compared to what I'm learning here. And the thing about it is I've never been able to show up. It's always been like for 21 years straight, it's always been all about me, about the food, you know, living in like this terrible state of fear, you know, not being able to show up for things because of, you know, the food. Either I'm in the food and I'm miserable because of that, or, you know, I'm abstinent and then I panic and I can't show up. And my husband asked me the other night, he said, you know, company Christmas party is coming. Are you going to come with me? And I just looked and I froze and I felt panicky. And I said, no, I'm not going to come. And he just kind of gave me a really strange look because I know that this illness has had a huge effect on him and my family and my, you know, the people around me because, you know, of not being able to show up. And I really thought, oh my goodness, like I would love to be able to show up for that. You know, I'd love to be able to show up for that and be what you guys are all talking about, be in that particular state, that recovered state or that unselfishness or whatever it is. But I can get really revved up with atmosphere too as part of my disease. Like I get revved and then I get really hyped and then, you know, the only solution is the food. At least that's what it has been. But the good news is I have a sponsor and I have fellows, you know, people that I can talk to about this particular specific issue, which is this Christmas party of my husband's. And, you know, should I go? Can I go? And I think people have talked about different, you know, stopgap measures, you know, timing and all these other things that I can take a look at. But anyway, I just want to thank you for this meeting. At first, I didn't think I had anything to say on this chapter, but it was funny how I just recalled that conversation that we had yesterday. And you know, is just, it's like I'm not able to differentiate the true from the false in these particular types of situations. I never showed up. I didn't show up for funerals, wakes, parties. You know, I just, the answer was just no. I can't even get out of the house because I can't get dressed, you know, without ripping apart the whole house, you know, and it's all about this being sick and this illness. And thank you so much for listening. This is Patty from Massachusetts.
Thank you, Patty L. Okay, Esther K., I have only 2 minutes left. Do you want to do a shorter share, please?
Yeah, sure. Hi, this is Esther K. from Illinois, Chicago, Illinois. Just wanted to share, I think it's very, this paragraph is very, very apropos, both for us in the beginning and for us now, at least for me. I know that in the beginning, when my husband and myself would go to weddings or any type of occasion, we would concentrate on what was the food and was it good, was it not. And thank God now I go to a wedding or I go to any kind of celebration and the food is still totally not the focus. And it's just like it's freeing. I mean, they say that once we do the program, we're free, and we really are free instead of being slaves to our desires. We can be there for other people. We could just be there and admire the occasion and how well it's done, or just be there with the people who are celebrating and be happy for them instead of focusing on what is being served and am I going to get what I want and is it going to be tasty. That's so not important anymore. Thank you. That I share. Thank you very much for this beautiful meeting, and thank you, Kathy, for running it.
Thank you very much, Esther, okay, for your share. Okay, it is now time for us to bring the meeting to a close. Thank you, everyone who has shared and who has listened. What a timely reading for our holiday season. I would like to now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we will say the Serenity Prayer together before hearing from our newcomer greeter and from those Leslie M. with announcements. So, Eileen M., would you please read A Vision for You?
Good morning. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.